Generative AI has been around for a while now. ChatGPT came out in 2022, and we've all had a play with it. We've all used tools like Gemini and Bard to try and write content. But how good is that content? And is there anything that we can do to improve the quality of the written content that generative AI tools produce? Well, that's the subject of today's podcast episode. Ever since generative AI tools came out, we marketers have been obsessed with figuring out how we can get them to do our work for us. Can we use them, for example, to do writing for us? If we can get them to write long form posts, if we can get them to write content for our social feeds, if we can get them to write books for us, how much time would that free up for us to go and do other things? So today I'm going to take you through this topic in three steps. Firstly, we're going to look at a bit of a state of AI tools today. We're going to examine some of the most up-to-date models and look at their capabilities. Then I'm going to take you behind the scenes of one of a few interesting experiments that we've been running in Exposure Ninja to see how good we can get the quality of generative AI content. And then finally, we're going to wrap all of this together into some future predictions. If you love marketing, and you're either really into AI or you're a little bit scared of AI, then I hope this is going to be interesting. Let's go.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast.
Welcome to the Exposure Ninja Digital Marketing Podcast. My name's Tim. I'm the founder of Exposure Ninja. We're a digital marketing agency and we help our clients generate more leads and sales online. One of the tools that we use to do this is SEO and producing content for our clients to go on their websites. This is a fairly common strategy for a lot of businesses, right? You research a bunch of topics that your audience is going to find useful. You publish information about those topics on your website so that when your prospects are searching on Google, they find your content, they come onto your website, they read it, they love you, they become a customer or they give you their email address and the whole relationship starts. And it's beautiful when it works, it's incredible. So of course, when generative AI came out, we were all looking at these tools, great, now we've got ChatGPT, we don't have to do the boring writing part of that, we can just publish and laugh our ways to the bank, right? Well, as many of us discovered when we started using ChatGPT to write content, it came out a little bit generic. So where are these tools at today? Because that was a little while ago. Well, in February, Google released its next generation model, as they call it, Gemini 1.5. So Gemini 1.5, and in particular, the largest version of it, Gemini 1.5 Pro, were touted by Google to be really state of the art. And generally, by people who try them, yep, they're considered to be okay. I wouldn't say that they're the best models out there, and the reviews are pretty mixed. I'm looking at one review on every.to. It says, I spent a week with Gemini Pro 1.5. It's fantastic. Whereas a lot of other reviews, particularly stuff that you'll see on, you know, sites like Reddit, are pretty mixed. There's a lot of people who are quite frustrated with Gemini, accuse it of hallucinations. This is when it just makes things up. And that type of thing. So that's Gemini. Then Claude, okay, Claude built by the company Anthropic, was released. And Claude 3, which is Anthropic's largest model, and in particular, the largest version of Claude 3, Claude 3 Opus, was released. And this was generally considered to be the best. And it still is. At the time of recording this, Claude 3 Opus is still generally considered by most people to be the best overall large language model, and in particular, it's pretty good at writing as well. So that's the version that I've been experimenting most with. OpenAI, not once to be upstaged, in early April, announced that they were rolling out a majorly improved GPT-4 version, which is the model that powers ChatGPT Pro. So every company is trying to work on new and better models. I haven't even touched on the open source models like Llama from Meta, but every company is working on new and better models to try and get the press attention, to try and get people to come and use it and to sign up for their little subscriptions. So that's what we know is happening in the world of generative AI. And we're going to talk about some of the writing capabilities of these in a minute. There's also been a whole bunch of stuff going on in the world of SEO. So Google's been having sort of minor breakdowns over the fact that so much generative AI content is being produced and published online. In the March update, so the March 2024 update, which is one of Google's largest updates and also longest updates as well, it's been rolling out for, I don't know, about 6 weeks now at the time of filming this, and it's still going. So this is a huge, huge Google update, which has seen some sites get absolutely tanked. Now, what did the March update focus on? Well, it was mainly targeting spam, and in particular, some things that they called scaled content abuse. Now, scaled content abuse, you can think of as basically producing automated content. So I'm going to read you a section from Google's announcement of the March update. We've long had a policy against using automation to generate low quality or unoriginal content at scale with the goal of manipulating search rankings. Okay, end quote. There's loads of this, but that's the general gist of it. So what are we saying there? Automation, i.e. using generative AI, to generate low quality or unoriginal. So it could be high quality, but unoriginal content at scale with the goal of manipulating search rankings. The goal of manipulating search rankings, by the way, is a definition of SEO. So any content that we're producing on our website, which is designed to rank, I guess you could technically say is the goal of manipulating search rankings. So the point of this update is Google does not want to reward, and actually it wants to punish websites that generate low quality or unoriginal content, right? We're going to come back to that because that's important. Now, we've also seen over the last 12 months, 6 months, Google's helpful content updates continue to cause carnage. So the helpful content update was all around Google wanting to prioritize content that has experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. EEAT, this has been Google's sort of mantra for a few years now about the sort of content that it wants to promote. And really, some of the changes around the helpful content update and the wording around this were kind of interesting for AI, because initially Google had said they wanted content to be written for people by people. Okay, and that's what you needed to do if you wanted to rank. So of course, by people, well, that means that they don't want AI written content, right? Well, they then updated their terminology to say, we want content that's written for people. So the by people bit had gone. There was also an update which said, so this was the before. Is this content written by an expert or enthusiast who demonstrably knows the topic well? Well, they updated the text to say, is this content written or reviewed by an expert or enthusiast who demonstrably knows the topic well? So basically, the text around Google's helpful content updates is, we want to reward original and unique content that has experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. But we actually don't mind if it's AI. As long as it has been reviewed by a human who knows this topic well and it's written for people, then that's pretty much okay. So what a lot of the Black Hat SEO community took from this was, okay, great. ChatGPT to the moon, baby. Let's get this thing hooked up straight into our website. Let's publish millions of pages. And a lot of those sorts of sites are the ones that have been absolutely decimated in this March update. They focused on the fact that, okay, generative AI might be okay now, so let's just push it as far as we can, which is kind of what the SEO community is sort of known for. For many people, of course, the primary goal of publishing content on our website is to get it ranked on Google. So we need to be looking at not just where Google is now, but where Google is going, the direction of travel. And I think that Google's updates in the text around its March update, this low quality or unoriginal content, this is Google's direction of travel. So Google doesn't want to rank unoriginal content or low quality, and low quality can be considered experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trust. So if we're producing content, whether we're using generative AI or not, we need to be thinking about those things. There has to be some sort of originality yet. Now, for me, one of the major surprises of the last year has been how little marketers have understood how these large language models actually work and what's required to get good output from them. You still see people going into like ChatGPT and saying, write me a blog post on this topic. And then what comes out is a completely, like totally generic output. And it will be totally generic because, think about it, ChatGPT has almost nothing to go on. It has its training data, but it has no insight. It has nothing original or unique to add to that article because the person prompting it has given it absolutely nothing to work with. I was talking to someone recently who was very proud to tell me about this workflow that they'd built up, which was all automated. And I forget the details, but it was something like it analyzed for new keywords or trending keywords in their topic area. It then fed these keywords to ChatGPT, and there was a prompt in there that made ChatGPT produce an article based on these keywords and then publish it on their website. Happy days, right? You've got content creation. There we go. We've got a content team that's automated. But if we think about the quality of that content, how much of it, let's go back to Google's words, how much of it is going to be high quality? So how much of it is going to demonstrate firsthand experience of the topic? Well, none of it, because ChatGPT has just been given a keyword to write from. How is it going to add any firsthand experience there? Expertise. Well, it's got training data, but really there's nothing new that it's adding there. And unoriginal content. So is there any originality in that at all? Absolutely not. By definition, it is unoriginal because it is just a regurgitation of ChatGPT's training data. So I think that type of approach is the sort of approach that Google is working hard to punish in the search results. And I think it'd be very risky for businesses to take that sort of approach. So that leads us on to the experiments that we've been running. So how can we use these tools, given all of that warning, how can we use these tools to produce something that is genuinely awesome? Well, let me give you a bit of context here, no pun intended. So we need to talk a little bit about something called the context window. And the context window is the amount of, think of it as the amount of information that you can feed into these large language model tools in order to get your output, okay? So when ChatGPT was released, it had a 4,000 token limit, which means if you think of each token as basically 3/4 of a word, it means that between the prompt and the output, we had a limit of a few thousand words. So that's like a small pamphlet worth of information. So you can feed it a bit of information, you get a bit of information back. Now, today's models have much higher limits. So the largest Claude 3 model allows input of 200,000 tokens, with each token being about 3/4 of a word. That's over 150,000 words of context. So that's how much information that you can feed this thing in order to get an output. Now, if you think about anyone that you've ever trained in your organization, if you give them a couple of thousand words of training, how good is the output from that person? Probably fairly mediocre, unless you're showing them how to do something very straightforward or something they already know how to do. Whereas if you give someone 150,000 words or 200,000 tokens of training, they're going to be a little bit better at that task, right? Because you can give them more context. The largest models, Gemini 1.5 Pro, claims up to 10 million tokens in its context window, which is not just a book, this is an entire library of information. So, okay, time out. What does this mean? So what? You can give these new models more information than you could ChatGPT. How does this make them better? Well, if you think of all of these large language model tools like a capable and intelligent intern, but they don't know the particular task that you're asking them to do. So they're very capable, but they're only as good as the instruction. If you give them a garbage prompt, they're going to give you generic garbage out, okay? So with more prompt comes more opportunity. So what I thought was, all right, let's see if we can feed these models actually a huge amount of information, what I'm sort of calling an AI context Bible. So I wanted to do a test. How good could we get the best model at writing, Claude 3 Opus, to produce a blog post if I gave it a huge volume of input information? So I decided to write about something that I know pretty well at the moment, which is Google's generative AI search engine, SGE. Now, I've done tons of work on SGE. We've released videos of it. We've got webinars on it. We've written extensive blog posts. We've updated our latest version of How to Get to the Top of Google, the book, with stuff about SGE. So what I did is I put together a context Bible. I got a transcript of a massive video that we produced talking through exactly how to rank in SGE. We then produced the blog post, which had loads of videos and examples embedded. It was a really long form blog post. It's about, I think, 30 pages long of A4. Really, really detailed, super long blog post. I compiled all of this and I thought, right, let's get Claude to put together a project plan for creating this amazing post. So what I'm going to do is just run you through the process I used and then explain what the output was like, and when I got people to feedback on the output, what their thoughts were. So I started off by prompting Claude 3, the most advanced model I could get access to, I want you to write a detailed blog post in my native tone of voice about Google's new AI search engine called SGE. In order to write this blog post, I'd like you to draw from a number of sources, including a transcript of an interview where you will design the questions to ask me, an existing blog post that we've written, and the transcript of a video that we've recorded excited about this topic. Please create a project plan with the steps required to complete this blog post. Right, it did that. It gave me some steps to create the post, which was great. They all made loads of sense. And then it asked me a bit about the target audience, which I gave it. I then uploaded my context Bible, my blog posts and my video transcripts. And I said, here's my target audience. Now design me an interview. So Claude 3 is going to interview me. And it did this. It gave me some interview questions, which I then recorded. I recorded them in Descript, which is a software that you can use, which basically transcribes and uses AI to give you like accurate transcription. So I answered Claude's questions in voice. I gave as much detail as I could. I then got the transcript from Descript and put it straight back into Claude. Right, here's your interview transcript. Now you've got all the tools that you've got, let's go. So it then came up with the first draft of my blog post. Now remember, I'd asked it to write in my tone of voice and I'd asked it to use all of this reference material, taking advantage of Claude's massive context window. And it did a reasonable job. Now the problem was, the blog post wasn't very long. I'd given it all of this detail and it had given me, I don't know what this is, maybe 800 words of copy for a blog post, which in my mind is nowhere near long enough. So I said, all right, this is okay, but I'd like the post to be significantly longer. Please rewrite it using the same structure. And it did that, but it did what all of these generative AIs do, which is to fill this thing with loads of gobbledygook, you know, the ever increasing, you know, all that type of thing. So garbage. It basically padded out the same principles, but with its generative AI fluff, which was no good because it makes it very difficult to read, very wordy, hard to get through. It's like you're wading through treacle. You just get bored and stop reading. Okay, fine. Well, it's made it longer, but it's trash. So I said, right, try again, but this time use phrases, sentences, and the overall tone of voice from the source material. Make the post longer than the first version, not by increasing the wordiness, but by including more details, examples, and context. Okay, so it did that, but it still wasn't very long. It made it shorter again. So I had to go back to it and say, right, make it longer. Stick to using words, phrases, and tone of voice from the source material. Don't simply fluff up the language with wordiness. And off it goes. I asked it to give more context and examples, and it produced a blog. Now, I read through this blog and thought, okay, this is reasonable. It doesn't necessarily sound like me, but I can see a lot of the source material in there. So that's good. At least it shows me that it's kind of, it's using the stuff that I've given it. And by the way, if you just ask Claude to produce a blog on how to rank in SGE, it's going to give you total trash. It has no idea how to rank in SGE because there's just simply not enough information on this topic in its training data. So it'll just hallucinate total garbage. It'll start talking about voice search and all of this, which is completely irrelevant. So the fact that I got something that was factually accurate was encouraging and a vote of confidence for this content Bible approach because we potentially have something that is actually original. If I publish this on Google, there'll be some originality there because we came up with the initiatives and the ranking methodology that it's talking about in this article. So I pasted this into a Google Doc and I sent it over to some people in Exposure Ninja. Now I sent it over to Ali, who is our commercial director. And I said, Ali, I just need some feedback on this blog post. Didn't say it was anything to do with AI. And I also sent it over to Natasha, who heads up our editorial team. Now Natasha and her team spent all day editing the writing from our incredible content team. Now, the content team are professional writers, so they produce incredible output, and Natasha is a professional editor of that incredible output, so she's pretty savvy. I sent over this guide, and Ali immediately started like laying in with edits and fixes and tweaks. The first sentence, she said, bit formal and AI sounding. Great. So Ali's picked it up immediately. When I asked Natasha to review it, she said, let me get the exact wording because I want to get it right. She said, okay, first thing is this written using AI? Because that's my initial feeling. Okay. And she needed very, very little time to come to that conclusion. So frustratingly, what seems to have happened is AI has taken the insight, the information, but it's still AI-ified it. It still turned it into something that feels generic when people are reading it. Now, remember, I asked it to use phrases, words, and sentences where possible from the source material, and it did this, but Natasha could even pick up on it. So she said, It's funny, but there are parts where I can detect your voice and then other bits where it becomes more generic, like the AI has hit the default button, which it basically has, right? Because I asked it to use phrases and sentences from the source material. So when it's doing that, she can pick up on that. And when it goes back into generic AI mode, it hits the default button. So that's exactly what has happened. So the takeaway from all of this is that about 2 hours of prep to produce this article, and I've got something that still sounds like ChatGPT. And in order to get that prep, I had to record a video, an interview, and write a ridiculously long form blog post, which took hours. So really what we're talking about is the amount of time and energy that took to come up with the original insights, plus the amount of time to produce the Bible to create this thing. I could have just written the article, which I guess is kind of where we're at today with generative AI. If you really can't write, you have absolutely no idea how to write, but you've got some useful insights, then generative AI can get your articles to a stage where they are passable. But if you really want to produce the best content possible, which, by the way, is what I would argue is the only form of content that is worth producing for most businesses, then relying on generative AI to actually do the writing today, at the time of recording this, is not really viable because people can very quickly tell that it's AI and it just doesn't feel as engaging. Now, that's not to say that we won't get there, and I actually think we'll come back to predictions in a second. I actually think it might get there, but that's the state of play today. And that's why across the team at Exposure Ninja, although we're using ChatGPT and we're playing with these generative AI tools, we are not using it to write content because that content just simply isn't good enough to be published. If you think about what's happening in most industries right now, there are some businesses that are really heavily embracing ChatGPT and AI, and they're producing vast amounts of this type of content for their website, and it reads very generic. And remember, if we go back to what Google wants to reward and what it'll choose to continue rewarding as it evolves the search ranking algorithms, it wants to reward experience. Well, a generative AI can never have experience on its topic, can it? Because it is literally a generative AI. It's never done anything that it's talking about. Expertise, yes, it's got some expertise from the training data, but it can also hallucinate and make mistakes. Then we talk about the originality. Where is the originality in just rehashing information that it already has, a knowledge that it already has, and publishing it on your website? There is no originality there at all. So I think if that's the sort of content that we're creating and publishing, we are slap bang in Google's future crosshairs of the sort of content that it does not want to reward. If you want some help with your digital marketing, the team here at Exposure Ninja have something for you. The free website and marketing review. I know you've heard about this before, but guess what? Some of the world's biggest and most famous brands request this free website and marketing review because they want to hear what they could do to improve their digital marketing. Even the best want to know what they can do to take their digital marketing to the next level. So here's how this thing works. If you go to exposureninja.com/review, you'll see a short form where you tell us a bit about your business, a bit about your digital marketing goals. Our team will then go and research your digital marketing, but also your competitors will take all of this information and wrap it into a video, which we'll send to you completely free of charge, showing you what to focus on to generate more leads and sales through your website. This service is completely free of charge, but not everyone is eligible. So you do need to go to exposureninja.com/review to apply for your free website and marketing review today. So let's talk about future predictions. Does this mean that generative AI is useless? Absolutely not. I could not be more bullish and enthusiastic about the future of generative AI. I think it's going to be transformative. I think it's going to have a huge impact on a whole bunch of marketing tasks that we do. And hopefully it's going to give us the productivity gains which are being sold left, right, and center. In particular, I think there are three areas that might produce radically better content from Gen AI tools like ChatGPT. The first area I think might produce a big impact is the use of agents. Now, if you don't know too much about, you know, if you're not a total AI geek, then you might not know about agent use, but basically agent use is having a tiered a structure. Think of, you know, like a company, right? Think of a company. So you've got someone at the top of the company, you've got people at the top of the company, you've then got managers, and then you've got workers. That's basically the structure of most companies. Well, you can do exactly the same thing with AI. Now, why would this produce better outcomes than just having, you know, one tool that does the entire project for you? Well, the reason that this can produce better outcomes having this sort of agent structure is that the agents can feed back to each other. So if you have a project manager agent and its job is to set tasks and delegate tasks, the managers and the workers then produce those tasks and feed them back up. The project manager can then review that task and say, okay, that needs to be tweaked or that needs to be changed, and so on. And then once it's got satisfactory output, it can then move to the next stage. Now, any individual model can't do this. They operate in a very linear structure. If you think about how ChatGPT works, if you say, write this blog post, it doesn't do any planning. It just starts writing because that's all it knows how to do. So by building this kind of agent structure, and if you wanted to, you could train the agents on, you know, successful project management. You could train the project manager agent on what good looks like. You could train the writing agent on what good writing looks like or whatever. But by using this sort of structure, the hope is that we're able to produce better tasks, not just across writing, but across a range of different tasks. Now, I think there are some studies and some papers that give hope to this. In particular, one called The Rise and Potential of Large Language Model-Based Agents, a survey. But as of yet, this is a conceptual idea really as much as it is reality. There are some softwares that claim to, you know, make agents easy, but in reality, most of them are pretty buggy and it's very difficult to work. But the theory is that this should produce better outcomes. The second area that I think could have an impact is planning actually being built into the models. So ChatGPT is optimized to give you an answer as quickly as possible. Sometimes you actually don't need an answer as quickly as possible. If we think about how you or I would write a post or an article or take on some project, we would first take some time to think about how we were going to approach this. We then might produce a project plan. We then might decide to go and do some research into different areas. Once we do that research, we might come up with some initial conclusions, which we might test. We might then do some more research. We might go and have a look in some other areas that came up from our initial research. We might then come to a conclusion. We might then go back, rewrite our project plan. We might then start writing the information in each section with the conclusion. We might then go back and edit it all for clarity, make sure it all made sense, add sources. So you can see the process that you or I would go through to do something good is never just linear. When we're writing a blog post, we don't just start with a blank screen and just start typing, and that's the final version. But that's exactly how all of these large language models work. They just start typing. They are next token prediction machines. They're just predicting the next token. So they don't have the luxury of going back and forwards and planning. This is why when you ask ChatGPT, write me a 100-word blog post, or write me a sentence that has 100 characters in, it's pretty rubbish at these tasks. Because if a human was to do this, we would then write the blog post, and then we'd click on the little word count thing. We'd see how many words there were, and then we'd edit it, and then we'd click on the little word count thing, and, you know, we'd go back and forwards and iterate until we had our 1,000-word blog post. Or if we're writing a sentence with 100 characters, we'd do a similar thing. We'd write something, we'd count the characters, we'd edit, we'd go back, you know. Whereas these tools don't do this because they don't have planning capabilities built in. Now, there is talk about some large language models and some tools being built with a mode that would allow them to do this planning, and it would take a bit longer, which is why it wouldn't necessarily be great as a default thing, because if you said to ChatGPT, write me a blog post, and then you had to wait like half an hour for the output, you might not be happy. But actually, you might be happy if the output was incredible because it had been through a sort of iterative planned process. So that's the second area that I think could be interesting. The third area that I think could be pretty interesting is that as all of these models get better, they get trained on more data with more parameters, they start to have capabilities that we can't predict. These are called emergent behaviors. So GPT-5 will come along, Gemini 2 will come along, Claude 4 will come along. No one outside the teams developing them knows exactly what they'll be capable of, though. And even the engineers working on these projects, like Anthropic, has a team that's just dedicated to figuring out what on earth is going on inside these machines to make them work. We don't actually know really how they are working. So we get these emergent behaviors where they basically have skills or capabilities that weren't necessarily trained or programmed into the model. It just turns out the more they learn about the world, the better they become at a range of tasks. A bit like humans. If you find someone who is, for example, I interviewed someone for a role the other day, and they had a huge range of business experience from decades and decades of, you know, incredible top level experience. If you compare that person to someone who just come out of university and you gave them both a task that was a complicated business task, well, who's probably going to do better? It's probably going to be the person who's got years and years and decades of experience, because they've just got more knowledge of how the world works. And it's the same with these models. As they get bigger and more capable and they consume more information in their training data, they get a better understanding of how the world works, and they're usually able to produce better output. So I think we could get emergent behavior, which will actually make them better at doing marketing tasks like content creation. So that's what I think might impact this in the future. As for timelines, I don't know. Nobody knows. Not even the people building these models know when we will have content writers that are better than humans, or if we will even ever get there. Right now, and always actually, the key to business content is not volume, it's quality. As the world fills up with generic generative AI content, how does Google or customers differentiate between different businesses? Well, it's the businesses that are going to be sharing their unique perspective, their first-hand experience, their original thoughts or insights. Those are going to be the ones that win. That's why you're listening to this podcast. You could have just gone onto ChatGPT and said, what impact is generative AI going to have on content writing? Or can ChatGPT write blog posts? But in all reality, you probably wouldn't have trusted the output, and it might not have engaged you as much as a person's perspective when they've been doing this and testing it and actually have their own experience. And I think that's the danger with all of this, that we just view content as this commoditized block of text that we need to put on pages of our website in order to tick some sort of mental box that says we've done that marketing task. That is really underselling the impact of content. Great content, yes, it gets ranked, yes, it gets people on our site, but it also sells them on your business. It builds a relationship with them. It convinces them to fill in your email form or become a customer or become a lead for your business, or even to buy your service, so that when they become a lead, they're more likely to go through their sales process because they've been reading your content. That's the opportunity of this, okay? And that's what we need to be thinking of with our content, is why at the moment our advice is that ChatGPT is not good enough at producing content that can be published on your website. That's why the team at Exposure Ninja, we brainstorm with ChatGPT, we use it to come up with outlines, we come up with ideas with it, but when it comes to actually writing the content, we are writing this ourselves, and we have to. It's not because we want to, it's not because, hey, we just absolutely love writing and we're attached to some artistic desire to write. That's not it. It's because if we want to produce the best possible content that gives our clients the best chance of ranking and converting customers and building a relationship with their audience, we have to do it by hand, the normal way, because ChatGPT and these other tools just aren't there yet. And in the video version of this, I'm actually going to show you some posts for clients that you can see what an amazing piece of content looks like. And I think it really goes to illustrate how far away ChatGPT is from this type of thing. So I hope you found this podcast useful. Don't forget to let us know what you think. You can leave a review or rating on your favorite podcast platform, or head over to the video version of this podcast episode over on our YouTube channel and join in the conversation there. Let us know what you think about these tools, which is your favorite tool for generating content, and how close you are to thinking, okay, this thing's gonna be way better than me at producing content. Until next time, see you soon.